Ramsey TV.
Good morning, everyone. Martin Zender here, broadcasting from my car at 4:55 a.m. on Friday morning. Not to worry, I've been up since 3:45, so I've had an hour to stay awake, to be awake. I've had my coffee, I've had a little kratom, and so I'm here to herald to you. I'm going to bring you an important consideration today concerning human reasoning and how it's destructive many times to faith. I'm going to give you examples of it, modern examples of it, and then I'm going to give you an ancient example of it, a couple ancient examples of it, and this is important because human reasoning, which is different than humans being reasonable, human reasoning is running God's statements and God's plans through one's head, through the filter of what one thinks God should do, or questioning why God does what he does, or wondering how God does what he does, none of which really matters, because God says what he does, and that ought to be the end of it, but it's not in some cases. So this is going to be really helpful to you. But first, I want you to know that Peter May and myself, we're fine. I've been very critical of Peter's position, of course, that Jesus Christ did not exist until he was born in Bethlehem, right? Very openly critical of it because he's publicly, of course, he's made videos. And so anyone who's a public figure who puts their work out for public consumption is subject to criticism. I, myself, of course, am subject to criticism. And I've been letting some days go by, and I've been planning to reach out to Peter to make sure everything's okay. Well, gracious man that he is, he reached out to me first, which kind of made me upset at myself. And I'm concerned about Peter's teaching. He's concerned about me personally. I'm not going to go into details about that because the details don't matter. What matters is that it was grace and peace, brother. Same to you, brother. I love you, brother. I love you too. It was a love fest. Peter and I are a fantastic example of how members of the body of Christ should get along, even though we vehemently disagree on this. And it's such an important topic. And it does not stop us from being brothers in Christ, from loving one another and respecting one another. And when we're criticizing one another, it's done in love, and it is nothing, well, with Peter toward me, it was a bit personal, but when I criticize someone's teaching, it's not personal at all. But see, Peter kept this privately. He would not, he's such a good man that he would not make public his personal concerns about me. So he did these privately, and that's the right thing to do. And I would never bring anything up personally about someone publicly. I prefer to keep it to the scriptures. And people say, well, why don't you just talk to Peter personally about his doctrinal issue? Well, because it's a public matter, that's why. And people were being swayed by it, and so I acted. And Peter respects that. And I respect his opinion of me. People are allowed to have whatever opinion of me they want. Some people put it out publicly. Well, I'm a public figure, so I'm subject to that. So a lot of people have wrong ideas about me. Whatever. I have wrong ideas about other people. So, but let's not let it disturb our fellowship and our love in the body of Christ. Okay? Great. Now, one of the finest examples in the scripture of God being doubted is Romans 9, 18 and 19. Paul says in Romans 9, 18, concerning God's sovereignty, consequently then, to whom he will, he is merciful, yet whom he will, he is hardening. And then Paul says, you will be protesting to me then. Why is he still blaming? Here's the common problem people have. Well, if you tell me God makes people hard, why does God still blame people he makes hard? In other words, why does God still judge them? Why is God still taking them to task for something that he made them do? It's a common objection. People can't figure it out. For one thing, it doesn't matter if you can't figure it out. You not being able to figure it out has nothing to do with the fact that God does it. But see, they won't believe God's words. They won't believe his plain statements because they can't make it gel with their belief system or their understanding. But their understanding, their belief system about how things are, has nothing to do with anything. This is what I want to tell you today. I want to say stop questioning God. Paul is so upset at this question, even though he considers it probably a reasonable question. In verse 20, he says, "Oh man, who are you to be sure to be questioning God?" And I would say that to a few people who have commented on the subject of the preexistence of Christ or the sovereignty of God. Also, Robert Lakey and I, we go back and forth publicly on my YouTube channel about the sovereignty of God. I believe that God controls everything. Robert doesn't believe God controls or does everything. But we still respect each other. And you see that played out publicly. Robert agrees with most of what I say, and he says so. But he has a problem with God controlling everything. So I'm like, But I come after him. And I just did it yesterday. But he's a gracious man. He's a supporter of the work, which I appreciate. Oh, and I will have you know that I don't play favorites either. It's like, oh yeah, Martin's tough on some people, but other people he's easy on because maybe they support his work. It's like, no, I'm an equal opportunity offender. Okay, I just want you to know that for the record, but you probably already knew that because you know my character and you know how zealous I am for these large issues, these truths of God. So there's a great example in Scripture of somebody saying, well, I don't understand why God would judge people that he made hard. Paul says, it doesn't matter whether you understand it or not. God does it. I'm telling you, Paul says, God does it. What difference does it make whether you understand it or not? There actually is an answer. But Paul doesn't even deign to give the answer. Paul doesn't justify the objection by giving the answer. The answer is, of course, that God's judgments are for the benefit of the person being judged. Also, the answer is that how can God judge the world? Since God does everything, and not everybody believes that, but God does do everything. And in order to judge people for their own good, he has to judge people who he makes do what they do, because God makes everyone do what they do. It's as simple as that. All right, now on the topic of the pre-existence of Christ, I have two perfect examples of destructive human reasoning. And I'm not going to name names because it's not necessary. It's not necessary here to name names. But somebody said, well, if Christ existed before he was born, right there I have a problem already. What do you mean if Christ existed before he was born? There's a dozen scriptures that say he did. Why the if? But anyway, let's go on. And I'm not blaming this person. I'm just saying here's an example of what not to do. If Christ existed before he was born, then what form did he exist in? Do you know the answer to that, Martin? And for how long? How long did he exist before he came to earth as a human being? And at what point did he take on mortality? And then this statement, the scriptures on Christ's pre-existence make no sense to me when taken literally. Well, I would say very kindly and lovingly to this person, which I did in the YouTube comments, it doesn't matter whether it makes sense to you. God doesn't run it past us to see if it makes sense to us. Oh, I just want to make sure this makes sense to you before I do this, because I want it to make sense to you. Well, unless you understand it, I'm not going to do it. See, it's irrelevant. If Christ preexisted before he was born, what form did he exist in? What difference does it make? It's irrelevant to the fact that Christ existed before he was born. And I gave this example. This is how illogical this is. If Martin wasn't, okay, if you're telling me if Martin was in Fort Lauderdale before he went to Iowa, what color shirt was he wearing? Huh? What color shirt was he wearing? If you're telling me he was in Fort Lauderdale before he traveled to Iowa, what color shirt was he wearing? Or how about this? How long did he live in Fort Lauderdale before he left for Iowa? Huh? Before he left for Iowa. How long did he live in Fort Lauderdale? It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant to the point, to the statement of fact that Martin Zender was in Fort Lauderdale before he went to Iowa. Oh, yeah, but what color was his shirt before he left? Huh? Since you say this is true. Nothing to do with anything. Great example. Great example. Now, another objector to the truth of the pre-existence of Christ said this: it's a mystery to me how Christ became a zygote in a human uterus. It's a mystery to you how Christ became a zygote in a human uterus? It's a mystery to everybody. We're human beings. We can't make a zygote in a human uterus. Where does anybody come? How is anybody generated as a zygote in a human uterus? Well, you see, the man puts his reproductive organ in the woman. Yeah, I know all that. But not even the most well-studied scientist, well-read scientist can explain. In fact, farmers can't even explain how corn grows. They don't know how it grows. It's a mystery of life. All they know is you put water on it, you get sunshine, you gotta put some cow poop on it, and it'll grow. Well, how does it grow? I can't plant anything until I know how this stuff grows. I refuse to sell my product. I refuse to believe that corn exists until I understand how corn grows. And this person also said that this person objects to being told, just believe. Just believe. But that's exactly what I'm telling you. Just believe. I'm not telling you to believe something that doesn't exist. I'm telling you to believe something that God states to be true with a dozen scripture verses. God says that this is the way it is. But I don't understand. I wonder if this person understands how Jesus walked on water. Well, it's just a frustrating mystery to me how Jesus walked on water. I mean, what about gravity? What about the fact that Jesus weighed? He had weight. And water doesn't hold people. I don't understand how Jesus walked on water. So what? Therefore, he didn't walk on water. That's what you're saying about the preexistence of Christ. Well, I kind of don't, not going in for this preexistence of Christ. Why? Because I don't understand how a spiritual being who preexists, who is in heaven, can become a zygote. I just don't understand how that can happen. Neither does anyone else. And it has no bearing whatsoever on the fact. No bearing whatsoever. Yes, but if you say this is true, what did Jesus look like? How long was he in heaven before he came to be a zygote? Completely irrelevant. I wonder if this individual knows how Jesus Christ multiplied the loaves and the fishes. I quote this individual now, it's still a frustrating mystery. Why are you frustrated? Just accept it. Oh, I don't want people telling me to just accept it. That's exactly what God told Abraham. Just accept it. I've made you a father of many nations before he even had a kid. And Abraham just accepted it. Just believed it. That's beautiful. Why do you object to people telling you, I'm tired of people telling me, just believe it. No, that's what you need to be told. Just believe it. The one thing you don't need to be told is, well, I want you to, don't believe it until you understand it. Don't believe it until you understand why. See, people are always asking God, well, why would you do that? Well, I don't understand how you did this. Well, I don't understand that if this is this. And Paul says, who the hell are you? Basically, that's the Zender paraphrase of Paul in Romans 9. Who are you to question God? He says he does it. Just believe it. We're not asking you to believe something that doesn't exist. God tells you something, and then he says, believe. He's not saying believe in, again, he's not saying to believe in something that he doesn't state In Abraham's case, God stated it. I've appointed you to be the father of many nations. Believe it, boy. Believe it. Abraham does believe it. I love that about Abraham. He doesn't say, statement of this individual. If I didn't struggle with this issue that is critical to me, that is the pre-existence of Christ, I would be able to settle on the pre-existence of Christ. My question is, why are you struggling with it? Just as God clearly stated to Abraham, I've appointed you to be the father of many nations, it's clearly stated in Scripture over a dozen times that Jesus Christ had a glory with the Father before the world was, and that Jesus Christ took the form of humanity, and that he was dispatched into the world. That's just everywhere. So, just believe it. Yeah, I'm telling you, just believe it. You know, it's a good thing. Oh, people always come to me at this concerning the second death. Well, I don't understand why God would raise people at the great white throne, judge them, only to cast some of them into the lake of fire, which is the second death. My answer is, who are you to question what God clearly says he does? Read Revelation. God says that exactly what he does. Raises people, judges them according to their acts, and some of them whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life go to the lake of fire, which is the second death. End of story. But I don't understand how there can be a lake of fire. I've never seen a lake of fire. Okay, then. Well, then I guess it's not true. Well, I don't understand why God would judge somebody and them cast. It's like, who are you to question God? Who are you? God clearly states that he does it. Why are you wrestling with it? Why are you struggling with it? Do you think that at any time you'll be able to completely understand the reasons of God, the ways of God, how God makes a cell reproduce in a woman's uterus? Nobody knows how that happens. We just know that it happens. You see, Jesus walking on water. We just know that it happened. We don't have to struggle with how it happened. But gravity, we don't. That's irrelevant. Yes, but what was Jesus wearing before he stepped on the water? That's totally irrelevant. Yeah, just believe. It's a good thing that God doesn't do what he did in the past with people who did not believe him because of human reasoning. It's a good thing, because otherwise none of these people would be able to talk. That's right. I'm talking about Zechariah in the temple. Zechariah, the high priest. Luke chapter 1, verses 6 through 20. Remember, Gabriel came to him when he was ministering to the Lord in the Holy of Holies. And he says in verse 13, your wife Elizabeth shall be bearing you a son. At that point, Zechariah should have said, awesome, thanks, man. Everything would have been good. That's awesome. But no, instead, his human reasoning kicks in. And he said, by what shall I know this? Verse 18, you silly man. By what shall I know this? I'm aged and my wife is advanced in years. As if the angel Gabriel doesn't know that. I love the answer of the angel Gabriel. Angel Gabriel pulls rank. Yeah, verse 19. I am Gabriel who stands before God. See? He doesn't say how it's going to happen. Well, you see, we're going to energize the inner workings of your wife Elizabeth's body. And it doesn't. And a lightning bolt is going to come down. An invisible lightning bolt will come down. He doesn't deign to explain it. He just says, I'm Gabriel, stands before God. Any more questions, sir? Verse 20, and lo, said Gabriel to Zechariah, silent shall you be, not speaking until the day of fulfillment, because you do not believe my words. You do not believe my words. These individuals commenting here, and I'm not mad at them. I don't blame them. I'm thankful for them because it gives me a perfect example to teach on the destructiveness of human reasoning. These are God's words. Angel said, you have not believed my words. Zechariah didn't believe the words of Gabriel because he ran it through his human thinking. I don't understand why. I don't understand how. It doesn't matter. You just need to accept that God does what he says. Maybe there is an answer. Maybe there is an explanation. In the future, we'll know everything. But for now, faith is a beautiful thing. And we are told, just believe.